This is the Living in Fierce Alignment podcast, your go-to place for mindset transformation, self-empowerment, and personal development. I'm your host, Kayla. I'm a mindset coach for ambitious human beings who are wildly passionate about up-leveling themselves so that they can live a limitless life with ease. I'm here to show you how to create the life of your dreams and powerfully step into your full potential, and of course, live fiercely. So let's get started. Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. I'm really looking forward to this episode because I'm going to share with you my experience of being a rugby athlete and a particular time in my life when I was a varsity athlete and how I was successful with that and, you know, technically had, quote, fame with it, and why this actually, I mean, the title of this episode literally, why it fucked me up. Why it fucked me up, and then also how this applies to business. And I have two posts that I'm going to drop in the show notes where I'm talking about what rugby has taught me in terms of how to thrive as an entrepreneur, and then also just my views on needing to be famous or like needing fame for our work stems from validation. And I'm really going to focus on talking about the validation piece of what came through for me and why I don't resonate with the experience of wanting to be famous for our work. And I think that there's going to be a lot of different views on this. Some people, they disagree with me. Some people see it differently. I see it differently than other people. Like, there's no one answer. I think that's a really important thing to remember with this. And so I'm just sharing my experience because I've lived it. I have lived having a certain amount of fame for the work that I do. And I want to share the impact of that because I think that sometimes when people have not experienced fame and people think, oh, once I'm famous and this and this and this will happen, or I'll make this kind of impact or leave this kind of legacy, or, you know, it's very similar to money. Like, oh, if I make this amount of money, then I'll pay off all my debt and all my problems will be solved. And it's not about that. It's really rooted in the process. And I want to share this with you today. So I've shared about rugby a decent amount over the last 5 years, but I've never gone to like this specific depth in terms of my story. And I'm going to tell you the story and I'm going to loop it back to business after so you can get the full fucking picture. And I'm laughing because this feels like a very six line moment of sharing my lived experiences and looking beyond like what the fuck happened, you know? So my story with rugby is I started playing when I was 13 in 2003, and I've played all the way competitive elite level until I was about 25 years old, and I did full contact until I was about 28 years old, and now I just do competitive touch rugby. And when I left high school and I went into university, that was the most humbling time in my career, because before that, when I was in high school and I was playing on a women's team in my town or in my city, I was a very good athlete. Like, I was, you know, I was fast. I was this, that, the other. It was all fucking gravy. And then I went to UVic. And in 2009 and also 2010, I was, and 2011. So it was like, obviously, September 2009. And then you go into 2010. So it's like kind of awkward years, but that, you know how the school system works. I went into university and I thought I was going to be great, and I wasn't. It was very, very fucking humbling. I struggled. I remember I used to go to training and I would cry after training because I was so slow and I was so fucking sore. And it was just, I just tried to play rugby without training properly and it just didn't fucking work. And I remember, I think it was either that year or my second year, our coach is pretty ruthless. Like, he was a great coach in many capacities, but also just so fucking blunt. I feel like when women have a male coach, there can sometimes be this lack of compassion and understanding, or being able to like hold space for a woman's feelings. Like, this is very stereotypical, but I'm just sharing my perspective and my experience. But in my athlete review at the end of the year, he told me I was a weak player. And this honestly fucking broke me. It broke me, and I just felt like absolute shit about myself. Because I felt like, and it takes time. If you're somebody who's ever really gotten into fitness or been an athlete, like, it takes time to grow your fitness and to become more cardiovascular capable and stronger and all of that. Like, you can't try and work out 10 times in a day to get the same results that it takes to get in 6 months. So this broke me because all I wanted was to be seen for who I was as a person and an athlete, and it, like, wasn't fucking happening. And this is how the whole thing started. So going into my second and third year, I worked on my fitness. I was going to the gym. I was doing the things. I was playing touch rugby along the side of training for full contact. And it was in 2013. So now this is in my fourth year of university, where I made the National University Sevens team and I went to the University Olympics in Russia. And this was the first time that sevens had ever been played at an Olympic level. And not only that, when we went and we played, we actually won third place and we beat Great Britain in the final and we were on the podium and won a fucking bronze medal. And for me, I remember, you know, up until that point, that's when I started playing sevens alongside 15s. And that's when the recognition really started. So I had gotten financial support from the university to go play in Russia. Like, I was put into the newspaper. My family had this massive fucking celebration lunch on at our house. I was fundraising. Like, there was a lot of recognition. Like, oh my God, look how incredible you are, because you're the first athlete at UVic on the women's team to make it to the national team in the University Olympics. And all these things were happening. And at that point, like, I was a starting player on the team. A lot of the times the coach wasn't subbing me off. Like, I was staying on, I was playing full game. And so there was just a lot. There's a lot happening. And, you know, I also was on the honor roll as a student and was recognized for that, along with other students, of course, working two jobs, going to school full time, like just really a student fucking athlete. Like, I was living it. And I remember moving into my fourth year, like, still doing really well. And then it came to my final year. And that was really when things started to shift, because I was like, oh, I'm coming to the end of my rugby experience. Like, this is something that, you know, I've been doing for 5 years, but then I've actually been playing since I was 13. Like, this is like literally 12 years in the making. And I remember my last year, you know, we had our last games in the early spring of 2014. And I'll never forget the last game I played, because we, just to fucking top it off, we're playing Humber University from the East Coast of Canada. And a sevens game is only 14 minutes, but it just so happened that we went into overtime. And it was interesting because at one point I was sin bin. So that's basically like I had a penalty that was significant and they binned me for 2 minutes. So we go into overtime and I come out of the sin bin and ended up being the one that scored the try that ended the game. And so there's just so many experiences where I worked so fucking hard and I was so recognized and I achieved all these things, you know. Even in university, they built a new training building, and like, they used to have the gym and everything in one building, and then they brought it onto campus. It's called CARSA. And the athletes there, they have their locker rooms. Like, they've really fucking nice building. Like, it's brand new. It's only like, it's less than 10 years old. And I remember this was in our last year, so I didn't get to see the locker rooms because they were starting the next year. But they had taken my picture and put it on the like sort of wallpaper, sort of banner that runs around the change room. So I'm like on the fucking wall in the CARSA building for the rugby team. And it's just, you know, it's just these, there's just so many little things that were validating me the entire way. And it's like, oh, I'm a great rugby player because I'm being recognized by the university. I'm playing a lot of games. I'm getting this, this, and this. Like, I'm known as this. You know, when I was in university, it's like, oh, I'm a varsity athlete. I didn't talk much about my degree. Like, that was the thing. I was famous for rugby. People knew me as a rugby player since I was in high school, right? And actually in middle school is when it started. And so this is when the shift happened and my identity fucking crushed. So after that last game and we beat Humber, and I just remember like walking off the field and I was crying because I thought, holy fuck, like I'm done. Like my university varsity experience is complete. You know, I've been doing this for 5 years. Like, I've achieved all these things. Like, this is a lot, right? And so it felt pretty normal that spring going into summer, because we normally take time off, right? We're not playing when we're not in university. And it was coming back into the fall of 2014 where I had a really rude awakening, because the coach had, I don't even know how this happened. The coach had invited me. He's like, oh, you can come to the training camp. Like, you know, you've been playing for so long, it's totally fine. First of all, super inappropriate for me to come to the training camp. I don't need to be doing that. And it's so funny because sharing this, I actually feel embarrassment. Like, I cannot believe how inappropriate this was for me to go, because I'm not on the team, literally not on the team. So I go to the training camp And it's funny because the captains, like, they know me because I was there, like, the season before. And it's like, I'm there, I'm training with them and whatever. And I remember, like, they came to me after the first day and they're like, Kayla, like, you don't play on the team anymore. Like, we need to focus on the athletes that are coming in, that are new, like, that are actually going to be, you know, sought after positions on the team. Like, I don't think it's appropriate that you come back. And that was the moment that my soul was fucking crushed. And I started an identity crisis that lasted over 3 years because I had allowed myself to become famous and receive this validation. And this is a very specific mindset thing. Because I had been receiving this validation, it's like, I'm doing work, I'm being validated. I'm doing work, I'm being validated. And all of a sudden, it's like, I'm not a varsity athlete because I'm about to finish my fucking degree. I was in university for 6 years. And it's like, well, what are you going to do now? And all of a sudden, my identity was so deeply connected to that. And here's the funny thing. I'm going to bring in human design for a second, obviously. One of the things that people deal with when they have a defined G-center, if they've been so heavily identified to something, it's very hard to let that go. Whereas somebody who has an undefined G-center, they're always on the mission of like, well, what do I identify with? But the defined G-center is like, well, this is what I identify with, and become very attached to it. So when I look at what happened, you know, I went into, you know, I finished that first or last semester, second to last semester of my degree, the fall of 2014. And then I went into the spring of 2015 and I played on a local team. I didn't even have enough time to play rugby because it was like I was working and I was studying full time. And then I had a teaching practicum. And I remember after I graduated university in the summer of 2015, I moved to China. And when I went to China, I was like, okay, like, how am I going to find rugby? Like, I need to find rugby. And so I had actually, the first 6 months, I didn't find anything because I wasn't looking hard enough. And I actually connected with someone and I started going to rugby in Shanghai. So I lived about an hour away from Shanghai. I started going to rugby in Shanghai in the spring of 2016. But even in the fall of 2015, I was like, okay, we're going to start a rugby club at the school. And like me and one of my colleagues slash friends, like we started this rugby club, which was like so beautiful because the kids in China there had never played rugby before. And I was like, oh, let me show you. So we taught them a sport they'd never played before. So that was really cool. But yeah, the spring of 2016, you know, I was playing on a Shanghai team. Like I went to Hong Kong, I played in the 10s tournament there. And then as soon as I moved to Toronto in the summer of 2016, I was like, okay, I need to find rugby. Like I want to find a rugby team. Like I want to be the best again. Like I was just really looking for that validation, right? And I played in 2017 and then in 2018. And I remember in 2018, like the last game, I was playing for the Saracens in Toronto, and the premier team, and I think it was the Div 1 or Div 2 team, both teams won in the finals that summer. And I remember at the end of that, I was like, I think I'm done. I just got to a point where I realized, I was like, I don't need this validation. I don't need to be known as a rugby player. Like, I was grappling with how can I just play without it needing to be validated by anyone. Like, how can I just play because I love playing and I don't have to be the best. I don't have to do all these things. Like it was just a lot. And so that's really when things shifted for me and I could pull back and I could start to focus on, okay, you know, this is what I want to focus on. I want to focus on being healthy. I want to focus on, you know, when I'm 80, 90 years old, I can still do physical activities and like I'm strong and I'm fucking ready to take on the world. Like it's just to be able to operate and to contribute in the world. And so this is where things start to shift into business, because in 2019 is when I started my business and that became like my thing. So again, coming back to human design, I'm a sacral generator, single definition, defined G-center, defined sacral, that's it. And when I get into something, I go very deep. I think it's also a two line. I'm a 6'2". So the unconscious two line is like, ooh, let me learn all the things. Like I'm just gonna fucking get into it. So when I started my business in 2019, a very similar process came up where it was like, oh, once I hit the 10K months, then I'll be successful. Once I make six figures a year, then I'll be successful. Once I have X amount of clients and this and that and the other. And it was just fucking, again, needing that validation from people from the industry that I was successful and that I was good enough and that my work is making a difference, like needing to know from other people. Like if I'm going to be famous for what it is I do, I need to know. It's like this, there's like this void, this gap of like, I need to know. And it's so fucking funny because I feel like my journey in business, and I've been so transparent about this, I've called myself a late bloomer. And I'm not disempowered by that because all it means is that it took me longer compared to the traditional person in the coaching industry to hit certain milestones. Like it took me over 3 years to hit my first five-figure month. And it's probably going to take me until this year that I'm going to hit like over six figures. Like it's just taking me time. And because of that, I never heavily had my identity wrapped into, oh, I need to be famous for the work that I do, because I knew that I was seeking validation. And if I'm seeking validation, it's because I, as a person, think that I need that fame in order to leave a legacy or make an impact with people. And I don't. And I'm sharing this because I've seen in some spaces online, it's like, well, if you don't want to be famous, then you're just shaming yourself for the things you actually want. And it's like, well, I actually don't want to be famous for my work. I don't need to be. I don't believe that being famous means that I'm going to help more people. I'm going to be seen more, validated by others. Like I'm just here to fucking get really good at what I do and to know that it's going to help people. And I actually shared in one of the posts that I linked in the show notes that, you know, I have done so many fucking podcast episodes. Like we're coming up on 400 in the last 5 years. And at the end of every single episode, I invite people to subscribe. I invite them to leave a review. I invite them to reach out if they want to share. And I might get 1 to 2 messages max a month of someone reaching out to me. And besides that, I hear nothing from my audience about my podcast channel. And maybe you're surprised to hear that. But the thing is that if I needed validation from my listeners that this channel was making a difference, I probably would have quit a long fucking time ago because that would have been rooted in my ego. And so there's a real sense of liberation when you don't need that connection to be validated in the work that you do. And this is how it ties into business. And I think that me going through that experience in university, being a varsity athlete, being vastly recognized by the university, by my peers, by my team, like there's so many successes that were there. Like I've literally made history at my university, and it's like I identified so heavily with that, and the validation was like feeding me to do better and to do more. And I think it really comes down to the question of like, who are you when you have everything? And who are you when you have nothing? And if you can be the same fucking person in both situations, that is when you are an unfuckwithable human being. You don't need the validation from other people to feel like you're worthy, you're making a difference. And that's the thing that I really wanted to speak to, because I saw how it crippled me. And it's like, I'm in university for 5 years. It took me 3 years to recover from that. I struggled with working out because I had no purpose. I struggled with not being part of a team. When I left UVic and I left the team, I had really close friendships on the team. We were hanging out multiple times a week. I didn't see them for years after. I had to grieve friendships because we weren't playing rugby together. Therefore, we didn't have that thing in common. And therefore, we weren't great friends anymore. Like this genuinely fucked me up on so many levels. It really did. And I think that this is something to just pay attention to, because it is that minor mindset piece of like, are you still going to do the work that you're doing? Even if you didn't become famous, even if you didn't get the validation or the recognition. And it doesn't mean that not being famous is that you're not going to make an impact, right? Like this is the position that I'm trying to take with this. And it really is about being radically responsible for our feelings and how our successes in life show up for us, because that is our responsibility. And when I look at even now, like I'm 34 years old and I just made the national team for touch rugby to go and play in the World Cup in England this summer. And I've obviously talked about it on my podcast. I've shared about it in my stories and I brought it up in some of my posts, but I haven't posted on Facebook. I have like hundreds of close friends and family on Facebook. Like there's so many places I could be shouting this from the rooftop and I'm not, because for me, I'm finally playing rugby from a place of just pure joy and just being able to do this without doing full contact anymore because I don't want to wreck my body. And my commitment to being fit as fuck and being a contribution to my team is just purely from this place of being of service and being a contribution. And I think in the past it was like I needed to be the fastest girl on the team. And I was. At one point I was running a 1600 in like 6 minutes, like 6 minutes and 6 seconds. Like I was running it as fast as some of the dudes on the men's team. And it's like, that's great. Like being recognized for that and being able to bring that fitness to my team and in the games. But when it's rooted in needing validation, that's when we give our power away. We're like, oh, I'm doing all these things, but what do you think about it? Like, are not people seeing me, right? So it's very nuanced. And I know that some people will listen to this and they'll disagree and they'll still think that I'm rooted in the ego in what I'm doing, but it just feels different. It really comes down to that scenario that I painted for you. Who are you when you have everything and who are you when you have nothing? And would you still do what it is you're doing without validation, or do you need the validation to keep doing what you're doing? And that is such a very deep thing to contemplate because there's so much power in that, right? And it really is about becoming a rock. Like this conversation that I'm having with you, like I've really given you something to chew on, where if you really sit with this and it lands with you and it resonates, like you're gonna be a fucking rock in your life. You are a fucking rock in your life. And I just think that's so beautiful. Like it's like such a permission to just take ownership of how things occur for us and take full responsibility for it. So I hope that this episode resonated with you. And I know that I talked about the rugby side, talked about the business side, and I want to talk a little bit about the Gene Keys, because the Gene Keys have been major game players, and you're going to see this in the post that I linked in the show notes. But the Gene Keys are such a beautiful example of how to contemplate this perspective of needing validation from others and what it looks like to just be of service. So there's three Gene Keys I want to talk about. I want to talk about the 10th Gene Key, which is my unconscious radiant sphere, my unconscious sun. And then I want to talk about the 26th and the 27th. So when I look at my rugby experience and having this fame at university, I look at the shadow gift and city of the 10th. So we have the shadow of obsession, we have natural, and we have being. And so the obsession is really rooted in being so hyper aware of like, what do people think of me? What do I think about myself? Like, how am I being received? How am I this, that, and the other? Are people gonna not like me? Am I gonna get canceled? Am I gonna make a difference? Am I gonna be famous? Like, this is what obsession is. It's the extremes, right? And then when we look at natural and being, I love these gifts and cities because it's such a paradox. You know, I'm sure you've seen this on TV shows, cartoons, whatever, and somebody's doing some clusterfuck thing with a friend in a room and they hear somebody come and they're like, oh, act natural. And it's like the most awkward thing ever. So this contemplation of natural and being is, how can you just realize that there's going to be this obsession, but also that you can just be yourself and it can be a natural experience. Like, for example, with me playing on the National Touch Rugby team, I'm just naturally being and doing what I love to do. And whether I'm recognized for it or not, I literally don't give a fuck. I actually don't give a fuck. I don't. And that is so liberating because nobody has power over me and I'm just responsible for myself. So now let's talk about the 26th and the 27th Gene Keys. It's funny because on the post that I did, I was talking about the 26th Gene Key and I accidentally combined the gift of the 27th with the 26th. So the 26th Gene Key, we have the shadow of pride, we have artfulness and invisibility. And on the post, instead of artfulness, I said altruism. And so I'll talk about that with the 27th, but I'm going to talk about these three first. So when we look at pride as the shadow, it's like being focused on oneself, being proud about one's accomplishment, knowing what's best, like being able to, you know, need that validation. Like it's really about you. And when we look at the gift of artfulness, it is this clever, skillful approach, but it's not about making it about you, because the city of invisibility, and I love talking about the city so much, the invisibility piece doesn't mean that you're invisible and everyone else is not. It means because everyone is invisible that everyone is seen. So I want you to imagine, if you're like, what the fuck are you talking about, Kayla? I want you to imagine when you are in a crowd of like 100,000 people, because I lived in China, I can fucking see this so clearly in my head. You're in a crowd of tens of thousands, 100,000 people, and there's so many fucking people, and you're standing in a building and you can see all the people. But at the same time, everyone is invisible because everyone is seen. And so that's what it means. It's like, it's not needing the validation or to be seen or to stand out, because you are part of the whole. And so when we look at the 27th gene key, we have the shadow of selfishness, the gift of altruism, and the city of selflessness. So naturally, selfishness is being concerned with oneself, right? Thinking about your own feelings, your own experience, that kind of thing. Altruism is that transition from being concerned about oneself to being concerned about others. And then the selflessness is being concerned about others, like really caring about others, where it's not coming from your ego or your need for validation. So when I took these three gene keys and I contemplated them, they were really powerful because they helped me see my experience and my interpretation of what it means to be famous and my relationship with this perception, because it's never resonated with me. And in the earlier days of my business, I actually judged myself and thought, well, if I don't want to be famous, then I must be playing small. Like, I have to be famous. Like, if I'm not famous, then my work's not going to get out into the world. And I had a lot of beliefs around it. And it was very recently, actually, this whole experience with contemplating my rugby journey, where I realized, like, fuck, I was just very rooted in validation. And I think unconsciously I knew that I don't need that validation that comes with fame to know that my work makes a difference. And, you know, just a couple things where, let's say with my podcast channel, I've shared that I've done hundreds of podcast episodes over the last several years. And, you know, we're at almost 400. And I've always said, literally at the end of every episode, I've said, subscribe to the channel, leave a review. If you resonate with this, like, message me on Instagram. I'm totally open for conversation. And I might get like 1 to 2 messages where somebody's like, oh my God, this episode resonated. And so for me, if I had been here and thought, well, I need to have more downloads and I need to have more people liking my shit or messaging me about it, and if I was seeking that validation, I wouldn't have continued to show up and produce these episodes, because I know they make a difference with people, whether they message me or not, whether they subscribe or not, whether they leave a review or not. And so I think that that piece is really important, where we look at where in particular situations we seek validation in order to continue moving forward, or in order to know that the work that we do makes a difference. And I think that this is so key, because when we do this and we decide this, we become unfuckwithable, because we don't need other people to validate who we are as a person and what we bring to the table. And other ways that this has happened is, you know, quite literally posting on Instagram, not getting the likes, not getting the engagement, doing polls and stories, people not engaging, just doing a giveaway and having like 1 to 2 people participate. Like, there's so many times I can tell you examples of where people didn't engage or validate what the fuck it is that I was doing, where I could have just quit and been butthurt, and I decided, okay, cool, I'm just going to keep going. And that's really the key to this success as an entrepreneur, is like not needing that validation, because you just know yourself in your own heart that what you do makes a difference for people. And that's something that I really believe in. Like, I think you can create a legacy being famous, you can create a legacy not being famous. Like, you can make a difference for people being famous, you can make a difference for people not being famous. And so when I really look at the impact of having this fame without the awareness in university and how it fucked me up for 3 years after, I knew that that would never happen again. I knew that. And when I was navigating the concept of fame for your work, I used to judge myself in the beginning, and I used to think, well, if you're not famous for your work, then you don't want to be seen. Then you are playing small, you're being invisible, you're holding yourself back. Like, I was just ironically making myself small, because I thought I should want to be famous. And I didn't, and I don't. And it was really interesting because when I accepted this, it gave me the liberation. And I think, honestly, from my experience of being a rugby athlete and having a lot of recognition, being in that position where I gave my power away to what I do instead of looking at who I am as a person, like giving my power away to, like, I'm a rugby player. This is how I contribute to my team. This is what I do. These are the achievements I've had. This is how fast I run. This is the bronze medal I have. When I was in that realm of validation from others, these are the things that I do and what I've achieved, that did not serve me. It didn't serve me and it didn't serve others. Another thing that I haven't mentioned yet that's actually pretty significant is when I look back on, you know, 20-something-year-old Kayla getting all this recognition, being famous for rugby, I was actually very insecure. I didn't have the confidence in myself, and it was just like, it was like the world was carrying the weight of my success, because unconsciously I did believe if I'm seen as this incredible rugby player and I'm famous for what I'm doing, then I'm worthy. And so I needed that validation to feel good about myself. Whereas now it's like, whether I play rugby or not, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, I don't need that validation. And so that's another piece, is like, with the validation, it fills the hole of insecurity so that we can feel better about ourselves. And that is just another example of giving our power away. And this is why I was so passionate and committed to recording this episode, because I don't want people to give their power away. I don't want people to feel insecure and think they need validation from other people in order to be worthy or to know that they can make an impact with what they're doing or their work. Being somebody who is on the National Touch Rugby team, you know, this is the second time since the late 80s that Canada has put teams in for the World Cup. And that's kind of a big deal. And I think that that's something that's really cool. Like, that's really fucking cool. Also, I'm playing because I want to play. I'm going to the gym and working out and going to training because I want to contribute to my team. Like, we are a unit. It's not about me being the best fucking person on the field. So this is really this humbling moment for me. It's taken me a lot to go through to be able to navigate this and to accept this and to be unapologetic around having contrasting thoughts against other people who think that, you know, fame is like that's something that you can do and have and that there's nothing wrong with it. I'm actually not saying there's anything wrong with being famous. What I'm saying is that the validation piece that comes in the undercurrent is not something that gets talked about a lot. And that's the thing that fucked me up. That's what fucked me up in my experience of being an athlete and also being a business owner. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I feel like it was very personal in the sense that I've never talked about my rugby journey to this in depth. It's always just been snippets, and then, you know, making it relevant to business. I think I've learned so much from rugby that's helped me make my life as an entrepreneur easier and have the resilience to push through. And I hope that whether you resonate with being famous or not being famous, whatever suits you, my invitation is that you just check the validation piece, because it could save you years of having an identity crisis, or just save you the upset, like save all the things, right? And that's really why I wanted to record this episode. So thank you so much for listening. And of course, if you want to subscribe, you know I'm going to be dropping more episodes doing that. You won't miss a beat. And if you feel called to leave a review, I obviously appreciate that. And if you are somebody who is either you have an athletic background and you're an entrepreneur, I would really love to hear your perspective on what I shared today, because I have not had this conversation with anyone else who has an athletic background and who is an entrepreneur who's shared, you know, similar experiences. And I'm just curious. And it's funny because I'm not saying this because I'm seeking validation. I'm just curious if anyone else has had this experience. And if you haven't, that's fine, because then I'm just offering a perspective that people have never thought of before. So thank you, everyone, for listening, and I will chat with you in the next episode.